You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Judge, we're probably going to need like 10 more minutes, if that's okay? We're getting resolved.
Well, I have some... Did you get the state's email this morning?
We did. That's what we're...
I have a couple of revisions based on what they said, but also I need to... One thing I need you guys to address is I did 404, 4.04, the justification self-defense instruction, and on looking through the instructions again, I don't know if 4.05 is more appropriate because that's the one that deals with deadly physical force.
It would be.
So why don't you guys talk about that? And yeah, I'll give you a few more minutes. We can, yeah, we're off the record. All right, we're on the record on CR 2021-001704, State of Arizona versus Lori Daybell. The state is present, the defense is present, the jury is not present. This is the time set to discuss the final jury instructions. Let me confirm with the defendant that, is it still your intention to not put on any evidence?
Right now, Your Honor.
Yes.
As of this morning, I mean.
Well, do you anticipate that changing?
No.
All right. Because that does affect how these instructions will be read to the jury. So for now, we're assuming you're not putting on any evidence. Let's just go through page by page. I think it's probably the easiest way to do it. On the cover page, I did correct. I had 2001 instead of 2021, and I corrected the case number. The first instruction at the top, page 2, duty of jury, evidence to be considered, and rulings of the court. These are standard instructions in Arizona. I'm assuming there's no objection to those from the state.
No objection.
From the defense?
On page 2?
Yes.
No objection.
All right. Then on page 3, I did remove the stipulations because I don't think there were any stipulations. So on page 3, direct and circumstantial evidence, production of witnesses and evidence, redacted exhibits, those are standard. Any objection to those from the state?
Your Honor, I did object to the production of witness and evidence.
I want to hear about that because that's a standard given when we have a situation where we've heard about people like JJ, Tylee, Alex Cox. We've heard about Summer. We've heard about Detective Moffitt. None of those people were called at trial. So I think this instruction simply says that neither side is required to call, you know, basically everyone that's mentioned in the evidence.
I guess as long as the defendant is okay with it, obviously I've not seen that previously included in an instruction. My concern was the burden shifting potentially, saying that neither side is required, and that seems to imply or in opposition of the fact that the defendant need not present anyone anyways, ever. That's my concern with that instruction.
All right. Before we talk about that one, let me hear from the defendant. Any objection to the direct and circumstantial evidence and then the redacted exhibits on that page?
No, those are fine.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the production of witnesses and evidence?
I tend to agree with the prosecutor, but...
That it shouldn't be in there?
Correct.
Well, if the parties are stipulating that it's not in there, I'll remove it. Is that the case?
I believe so, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. By the stipulation of the parties, I'll remove that instruction. I probably should have brought my hard copy because you guys are working off a hard copy on my computer. This is kind of maybe... paginate different. So Now my next ones are indictment is not evidence, self-represented defendant. Any objection to those from the state?
No, Your Honor.
From the defense?
No.
All right, then on the comments are not evidence, the reason I highlighted that is it was to alert everyone that I did change the language in that a little bit because the defendant self-represented. It mirrors what I did in the opening, what I read to the jury before opening statements, more or less, in changing it from the attorneys to the prosecutor and the defendant talk to you about the law and the evidence. Are there any objections to that instruction from the state?
Not as changed, no, Your Honor.
From the defendant?
No, that's good.
All right, then we have credibility of witnesses, and on my page 4 is testimony of law enforcement officers, but that might be on your page 5. Any objection to those two from the state?
No, Your Honor.
Defense?
No objection to the ones that are in there.
All right, then we have expert witness. Any objection to that from the state?
No, Your Honor.
From the defense?
Nope.
All right, based on the defendant's indication that she's not going to be presenting evidence, I would remove defendant's testimony. I would keep in defendant need not testify, and I would remove defendant witness prior conviction if that remains the case. So any objection to that from the state?
No, Your Honor.
From the defendant?
Nope, no objection.
All right.
Can we add in there something?
What's
that? Is this a time to ask to add something in there?
Go ahead.
The standard 19, the defendant's statement voluntary?
Voluntariness of defendant's statements?
Mm-hmm.
That probably should be in there. What's the state's position?
No objection.
I will add that. I'll add that right after defendant need not testify. Just making a note. All right, then we have jury not to consider penalty. Any objection to that from the state?
No.
Defense?
Nope.
All right, the state emailed this morning. I think the state wants the alternative presumption of innocence, burden of proof in the Rajis. Is that correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
You want to make a record on that?
Your Honor, the current version the court has in here discusses the various levels of the burden of proof for preponderance and clear and convincing, which are not relevant to this. Case law is very clear under Portillo that the court is only required to present the Portillo instruction, which is partially on the next page in my hard copy, which explains to the jury the burden of proof for a criminal case. I think that going through other levels of burdens of proof without understanding or being provided context for that is confusing to the jury, is not necessary, and Portillo does not require it. So we're requesting the court just provide what has been mandated, which is the Portillo instruction.
What's the defendant's position?
We agree. It's confusing.
Okay. So let me, I think that's just the part, the last two paragraphs, right?
Yeah, from the three standards through the preponderance and the clear and convincing. So it would still have, you know, the presumption of innocence, and then it would go to the beyond a reasonable doubt portion.
Okay, I will, by stipulation of the parties, change that instruction. So it'll read, the law does not require a defendant to prove innocence. Every defendant is presumed by law to be innocent. You must start with the presumption that the defendant is innocent. Then I delete until the last two paragraphs. So then it will read, the state has the burden of proving the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. The rest of that paragraph. And then the next paragraph, proof beyond a reasonable doubt is proof that leaves you firmly convinced, and that entire paragraph. Is that the agreement?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes.
Okay. So my pages are not going to be the same as yours at this point. So we'll just go through it a couple at a time. Evidence of any kind, voluntary act, and then absence of other participant. Any objection to those three from the state?
Yes, Your Honor. And the evidence of any kind, I had sent in my email that we should remove acting with the advice of an attorney. The defendant is her own attorney, so she is. I think it should just be a period after evidence is left to the defendant, period.
You're right. I will remove that sentence. So what I would propose is it would read as follows. The state must prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt based on the evidence. The defendant is not required to produce evidence of any kind. The defendant's decision not to produce any evidence is not evidence of guilt. Is that what the state requests?
I would have left the decision on whether to produce any evidence is left to the defendant, period, and then the next sentence, cutting out acting with the advice of an attorney, mm-hmm. and then have the last complete sentence as well.
I don't have a problem with that. What's the defendant's position?
I agree.
You agree with the state's wording?
I agree with, yes, just to cut that part of the sentence off.
Okay. I already deleted it, so read it back to me, state, please.
Sure. So the state must prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt based on the evidence. The defendant is not required to produce evidence of any kind. The decision on whether to produce any evidence is left to the defendant, period. Then the defendant's decision not to produce any evidence is not evidence of guilt.
So the decision on whether to produce any evidence is left to the defendant. Okay, when we're done, we're going to print out another copy and make sure everyone's on the same page. All right, let me turn to the defendant. We've addressed evidence of any kind. Any objection to voluntary act and absence of other participants?
No objection.
All right, then we have motive. Any objection to that from the state?
We did have flight or concealment in the ones
Sorry, you're right. I should have stated I did delete flight or concealment. I don't think it's applicable in this particular set of circumstances. So then we just have motive.
No objection to motive, Your Honor.
And from the defendant?
Yeah, no objection to motive. No objection.
All right, here's where mine's going to change a little bit. I did the charged offense, each instance where it says first-degree murder, where it used the numerical first, I changed to a capital spelled out the word first in that, and then in the definition of first-degree premeditated murder. And the reason I highlighted in here, there's a couple highlights, a person and under premeditation, she or a co-conspirator. Those are changes I made to the standard because the standard just says defendant. So let's just talk about the charged offense, the definition of first degree premeditated murder, and then the definition of premeditation. Any objection to those with the changes that I've stated from the state?
No, Your Honor.
From the defendant?
No objection to that.
All right, then where it's altered a little bit, so there was an accomplice based on liability, based on the result of the crime that I had here. I've deleted that and instead put accomplice, the traditional definition of accomplice, in the definitions section. And I think what I'm going to have to do is we're going to print out a fresh copy and give it to you guys when we get there. And what I've inserted here is elements of a conspiracy, scope of proof of conspiracy, proof of membership in conspiracy, which in my original draft only had the scope, I think, of proof of conspiracy in a different spot.
Correct.
But does the defendant need those printed out to review? Because I have changed.
I was going to ask for those to be added, so okay. I did review them with my advisory counsel.
All right. I want to make sure, though, that you are literally on the same page with what's going
to
be read.
Yeah, so I would like them to be printed so I can see them.
All right. We'll come back to that when we get you a hard copy. What I wanted to ask the parties was I initially included the RAGI 4.04 for self-defense justification. But in a second look this morning, I think 4.05, which is justification, self-defense, physical force, and it specifically talks more about threatening or using deadly physical force, I think is more applicable. So what's the state's position on that, inserting 4.05 in place of 4.04?
I would agree, Your Honor. This relies mostly on physical force. Obviously, we're discussing deadly physical force here. So otherwise, the jury has to try to implant deadly physical force throughout this entire instruction.
Thanks. I think they should both be in, but...
Well, while we're on the subject, are you requesting any other justification instructions?
Well, I was going to ask for that, for 2.04A.
For what?
The 2.04A. 2.04.01A.
What's that? I don't have them all memorized.
Oh, the Arizona 13204.
Is that a RAJI you're referencing, or a...
Yes.
Hold on, let me bring them up. What's it called?
It's the Cashion. Is that what that is?
So,
I was on the wrong one. So we are going to be asking for those, but...
I don't think I'm clear on what you're asking for.
So we were going to ask for the 4.06, the defense of third person, the 4.07, defense of premises, the 4.11, crime prevention.
What was the crime that was being prevented?
The assault on myself, on my daughter, on my brother.
Defense of third person, defense of premises, and defense of or crime prevention.
Correct.
In addition to justification, deadly physical force.
Correct.
All right. Those get really convoluted and long, and there's a lot of repetitive information in those, but the case law says if there's even the slightest bit of evidence, then it's error for me to not give those. So what's the state's position?
Your Honor, I think understanding the case law, the defense of third party would be appropriate. The defense of premises...
I don't have it in front of me, but I think the defense of premises requires that the person be forcing in or trespassing...
Correct, rather than being invited into the home. So I don't see that justification and defense of premises is appropriate, given the facts that we have here.
Let me look at it, because doesn't it also say or remain unlawfully if they were asked to leave?
I guess we have no, let's see.
There's no evidence of that specifically, but I guess it could be inferred, and I would hate to risk a reversal on something like that. So let me take a closer look at it.
I think the other question is on that... goes to then the lawful possession or control of the premises, given that Charles Vallow himself was paying for the premises, which we have admitted evidence of.
The evidence also admitted is that he flew into town and came over to that house, not living there at the time, so it does infer it as well.
Well, he's on the lease. That would seem to have some apparent authority to be there, but let me take a look at it.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.